This is I Choose Life News and Views, sponsored by Indiana Right to Life and Allen County Right to Life, committed to defending innocent human life for all people of all ages. Your hosts are Kathy Humbarger, Abigail Eschelbach, and Scott Kump.
Welcome to I Choose Life News and Views. I'm Kathy Humbarger.
I'm Abigail Eschelbach.
And I'm Scott Kump. I Choose Life News and Views is a joint project of Allen County Right to Life, Indiana Right to Life, and Bot Radio Network in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The 5th Annual Links for Life Golf Outing is September 19th at Coyote Creek Golf Course. Allen County Right to Life has sponsorship levels starting at $100 for you and your business. Team sponsorships include a goodie bag, beverages on the course, a 19th hole sponsored by Chops Steak and Seafood, dinner at the lodge, and prizes. Join us on the green Monday, September 19th to save lives and enjoy a beautiful day of golf. Details and registration at ichooselife.org or on Facebook at Links for Life.
If you or someone you know is in a crisis pregnancy, help is just a phone call away. Call 877-791-5475. If you or someone you know is dealing with grief and pain after an abortion decision, call 877-791-5475. You'll be referred to a crisis pregnancy center in your area, a place where free and confidential services are available. That's 877-791-5475. 5475.
Our very special guest is well known to many of you, I'm sure, Abby Johnson. Abby was hired by Planned Parenthood and eventually became a clinic manager in Texas, where she ran both the family planning and abortion programs. She was Planned Parenthood's 2008 Employee of the Year until the year 2009, she was recognized as one of their stars, and we will get a bit later in our conversation to understand why that is no longer the case. Welcome, Abby. Thank you so much for returning to I Choose Life News and Views.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
I want to share with everybody that you're also a book author. Your first book was Unplanned, and the second one, which was just recently released, The Walls Are Talking, are both very easy reads, yet very informative. I've been in the pro-life movement for over 30 years, Abby, and it is amazing what you have revealed in these two books. So I would encourage our listeners to pick up a copy. I'm sure that your book is available through normal outlets. And just want to commend you for being transparent. I know you bared your soul to write these books and also give the opportunity for others like you who've come out of the abortion business to share their stories. And we just really appreciate what you've shared with us. So hope your books are being successful. And do you have a third one in the works?
I do, yeah. I've actually got a couple more that I'm working on right now. So we'll, you know, Unplanned only went through 8 months after leaving Planned Parenthood. And so many things have happened since I left, since I was 8 months out. So that might be the next one that I release, will be sort of an update talking about, you know, our clinic worker ministry and even just, you know, my own healing journey and what that's been like to sort of do it in the public eye. And then, you know, definitely my spiritual journey as well. So that is in the works, and that should be the next one that I release.
Well, great. And we would be remiss if we didn't take a couple of minutes to talk about your ministry, And Then There Were None, because you didn't just leave the abortion business and your friends behind. You have this wonderful ministry now that comes alongside those who come out of the abortion industry, and who better to understand what they're going through than you. So share with us a little bit about the organization, And Then There Were None. Do you have a website? Is there a way that people can support you?
We do. Our website is abortionworker.com, and people can go on and see what we do. We basically try to provide comprehensive help for those who want to leave the abortion industry. We're very proactive about reaching out to them. We make phone calls into the clinics. We send mailers. We find jobs for them, and we'll call in and say, hey, I've got a job. I have somebody that's ready to hire you on the spot if you'll leave today. And so we're very proactive with how we reach out to these workers. And we've been at this for just at 4 years. We just had our start of our fourth year in doing this. And we've helped over 270 abortion clinic workers leave the industry in that time. And Also, we've helped 7 full-time abortion doctors.
Wow.
Leave their practices and get into other lines of medicine.
Okay, great. Abortionworker.com. I would encourage our listeners to visit that page, get to know And Then There Were None, this unique ministry that is very much needed as the tide is turning and more abortion workers are leaving that industry. Well, Abby, it's pretty much common knowledge that you left the abortion business after seeing an ultrasound-guided abortion. Have you ever looked back?
No. I mean, the only time I look back is to look back at those that are still there and really trying to do everything I can to help them find freedom from that industry. And I just want them to have joy and peace. But no, I'm so
no
thankful
regrets.
that I'm out of there. No regrets. And I think, you know, that truly my story, I think about my story and I think, you know, of how the Bible talks about, you know, how God can use anything for his glory. And that's my prayer. You know, it wasn't God's will that I work in the abortion industry for 8 years, but mm-hmm. he can certainly redeem those years. And that's just how I feel like I'm living my life every day, just one day at a time and just, you know, in the presence of God.
Well, and doors are opening in miraculous ways for you. And I trust the Lord to continue opening those doors so that you can touch lives, not only for this world, but also for eternity. Because if abortion workers leave the business and quit doing abortions, that's great. But that just makes them ex-abortion workers. Our mm-hmm. ultimate goal, obviously, is to help them find healing and forgiveness at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where each and every one of us find healing for the sins that we've committed. The fight for the lives of unborn boys and girls and their mothers is fought on many fronts. We have public policy. We have pregnancy resource centers. We have people on the sidewalk in front of the abortion facilities. The list goes on. But you have helped us understand a whole new arena, a whole new battlefront. Many of us who've been in this fight for many years have really not stopped to think with compassion about abortion workers. Can you help us understand how we can be a part of helping to reach them?
Sure. You know, I think that, and I say this all the time, not everybody is meant to directly reach out to abortion workers, and that's okay. I do a lot of sidewalk counseling and sidewalk advocacy out in front of various abortion facilities. And, you know, I know that I am not the best person to reach out to women who have just come out from having an abortion. It's not because I'm not compassionate toward them. I am. It's not because I've had 2 abortions. I know the hurt. I know that heartbreak. But I don't really have a soft voice. I just don't have that sort of sweet personality. You know?
Abby, some of us would argue with you on that.
Well, I mean, you know, there's some people that they just exude sort of. You know,
right, I understand.
And I don't really have that. And so I am best, I'm more gifted at reaching out to women before they walk into the abortion clinic, right? That's really where I am better positioned. Now, I will reach out to women if I'm the only person out there after they've had an abortion.
Sure.
But I think that we all have to realize our gifts and our talents and really where, you know, our heart lies. And so I've had people come to me and they say, Abby, I want to talk to them, but I feel angry toward them. And so if that's the case, then you are needed to pray. You are not needed to, you know, necessarily reach out. And then God may convict your heart
right.
the more you pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might be someone who needs to reach out. So that's what I always say first, you know, recognize where your gifts are. But if you feel the heart, if your heart breaks for these clinic workers, and understand that about 70% of abortion clinic workers had abortions themselves. And so we have to reach out to them with the same compassion that mm-hmm. we would reach out to a woman who just walked out of an
right.
abortion facility after having a procedure. So I think definitely, you know, not missing those opportunities when you are on the sidewalk to just let them know that there is help for them, that we care about them too. We're not just out there for the babies. We're not just out there for those women going in, but we're out there for them too. And that's really powerful. I'll tell you a really beautiful story. She were talking about, you know, it's not just about making them ex-abortion clinic workers, mm-hmm. but it's really about reaching their heart for Christ. And we just recently had a healing retreat. We provide healing retreats for our former workers if they're interested. And so we had a woman that came, and she is just a force. She is amazing. And she was actually a clinic director of a facility on the East Coast. And she came to the retreat, and she shared with me at the end of the retreat that her plan was, she'd already committed to go, and we had already bought her tickets. So her plan was she was going to go to the retreat, and she was going to go home, and she was going to end her life.
Oh, wow.
But on Saturday evening, she had a very mighty encounter with Christ.
Mm.
And she grew up, a Christian, but she rededicated her life to God that Saturday night. And she was a different woman walking out on Sunday than she was coming in on Friday.
Wow.
And that's the power of God. That is the power of just his healing touch and how he can truly make all things new.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really been beautiful to watch. So, so reaching out to them with compassion, but also, you know, we have a lot of materials on our website, abortionworker.com. People can go under the resources tab. We have different letters. We have different flyers. We have different things that, you know, anybody sitting at home listening right now or in your car, you can go to our website. You can print off some of those flyers, some of those letters, and you can mail them in to your local abortion facility with maybe just a sticky note on it that says, we care about you. We're here for you. Please let us know if we can help. And that may seem small, but I tell you what, we do mailers quarterly inside of every abortion clinic across the country. And every time we do a mailer, we have at least 5 workers leave.
Wow.
Because somebody is opening that mail.
Yeah.
Somebody is looking at those words mm-hmm. of hope and saying, you know what, I can get out of this too. And there's somebody there to help me. And so just sending in fact, it's so funny, yesterday, I went to go check our P.O. box, and I had a mailer. Somebody, it wasn't us, but somebody had printed out one of our flyers and had mailed it into a clinic in Boulder. And this is Dr. Warren Hearn's late-term abortion facility. And he actually performs abortions up until the date of birth.
Wow.
At his facility
in
Boulder.
That's appalling.
And so somebody had sent in one of our flyers to them. They sent it back to us. And they said, you can remove us from your mailing list, you know, as no one in this facility will ever need or want your services. And I just smiled when I saw it because we've actually already helped a worker leave that facility. And so,
and also that indicates that they were touched enough to take the time to send this back to you. So this may be only the first time you hear from them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
you put a rock in your shoe.
We just started praying. And I said, you know, who else is praying for the entire staff of the Boulder
exactly.
abortion facility?
Well, I encourage all our listeners to join that prayer effort for the Boulder workers there in that late-term abortion facility. And Abby, I'm going to take a minute to make an unashamed appeal for funds for you. I know your organization, And Then There Were None, has only been in existence 4 years. I know how hard it is to get the financial support that you need to take advantage of all the opportunities that you have. So you talked about gifting, et cetera, and sometimes we're gifted with the ability to support financially organizations that are on the front line doing the work. So if anyone is listening that happens to be one of those folks, and it doesn't have to be big bucks, it could be anyone whose heart is touched with compassion and concern for the lost abortion facility employees that need the Lord so badly, I'm encouraging you to go to abortionworker.com. I'm sure there's information there about how to donate, but there are many, many organizations that are in the fight for life that are well deserving of our funds, but none that I can think of that is more deserving than supporting the work that Abby and the folks at And Then There Were None are doing. So abortionworker.com. I know Abby would not ask for funding on a program like this that she has come to share information about what they're doing, but I can certainly do that on her behalf. So abortionworker.com, please make note of that. Our very special guest today is Abby Johnson, the CEO and founder of And Then There Were None. This is Kathy Humbarger. You're listening to I Choose Life News and Views. Abby is well known as a former Planned Parenthood executive, also the author of the books Unplanned and The Walls Are Talking. Abby, one of the reasons that I invited you to be a guest today, and we're going to turn a corner here so that our time doesn't slip by without addressing some things that are happening here in the state of Indiana that I know you can give us some insight about. Planned Parenthood just announced that they're closing 6 clinics in Indiana. And I remember several years ago when you visited Indiana, you and I had some personal time to talk over dinner. And one issue that you mentioned to me, and I've never forgotten it, is that the business plan of Planned Parenthood is to make most, if not every, Planned Parenthood facility an abortion provider. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's correct. I was part of a team called CAPS, stands for the Consortium of Abortion Providers. It's sort of a subgroup of high-level abortion management inside of Planned Parenthood. And that was absolutely our goal. Our goal was to turn every family planning Planned Parenthood facility into an abortion-providing facility. And in fact, we had a big map of the United States, and every family planning only clinic was marked with a green dot on the map, and every abortion providing Planned Parenthood facility was marked with a red dot. And so our goal was to turn every green dot into a red dot.
Wow.
And that is absolutely their plan. Abortion is part of their business model. It is a product that they are selling.
That is absolutely amazing to see that being played out here now in Indiana. Planned Parenthood executives and the press, their communications folks, were quick to point out that it won't affect the availability of abortions in the state because all of the offices are in small towns and don't provide abortions. Before these closures were announced, there were 23 Planned Parenthood facilities across the state of Indiana, 4 of which our abortion providers, one as a chemical-only abortion provider. So that left 19 that were the family planning facilities, as you just described. 6 of those are closing, so that leaves 13 still operating. So you're really not surprised by this, are you, Abby?
No, I'm not. This is something that we're seeing across the country, these facilities that just, they couldn't hack it. They couldn't make it.
They can't make money.
For whatever reason. Could not begin offering abortion services. We are seeing these close, and praise God for it, because, you know, over 90% of women who enter a Planned Parenthood facility pregnant will end up having an abortion. So these are facilities that would be referring pregnant women for abortion. And so my prayer is that there is a pregnancy resource center in every one of these cities. And if there's not, that people will rise up and begin really, you know, doing this work to support women so that they will give their yes to continuing this pregnancy,
right,
and that we can support them and surround them with that support and prayer. So, yeah, this is not surprising. We're seeing it all over the country. 6 facilities is huge. That's a large number to close.
Well, God's up to something here in Indiana, and we're just grateful to be a part of it. It's interesting that Betty Cockrum, the executive director of Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky, is characterizing this as a win because she says women can get emergency contraception over the counter at drugstores, and the number of pap smears they've conducted are down 90% since women were advised they only need this test every 3 years. They cite the decline in the number of patients they're seeing as the main reason they're closing these facilities. So I would second your comment that you just made about praise the Lord for the closing of any Planned Parenthood facility. But this kind of runs counter to their slogan, care no matter where. And it also exposes, again, that Planned Parenthood is all about the bottom line. And maybe care for women is maybe second or third or fourth on their list of priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a silly way to spin these closures on their part.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of makes me chuckle. You know, oh, well, our pap smears are down because they only have to get them once every 3 years if they never had an abnormal. That's just ridiculous. That doesn't mean that just because standards have closed, that you close your facility if you really care for women.
Right.
Not only that, it's only every 3 years. if the woman has never had an abnormal pap smear, and I can tell you right now, the majority of women walking into a Planned Parenthood facility are having abnormal paps. So the reason that their numbers are down has nothing to do with the pap smear regimen. The reason that their numbers are down is because people in general are rejecting the services of Planned Parenthood. And we see that. We see studies, different surveys that have been done even to the millennial generation asking them, you know, their perception of Planned Parenthood. And the millennial generation, by and large, does not have a positive view of Planned Parenthood. They don't want to go to Planned Parenthood. We see more and more millennials rejecting hormonal contraception because now we know the dangers. We know the side effects. But they have told people, they've told us, but we don't know where else to go. And so that's why they continue to go to Planned Parenthood. And so that's really sort of a cry for our pregnancy centers to expand services to see these younger people, because I believe, I truly believe that our society now more than ever is rejecting Planned Parenthood, and they are rejecting these supposed services, you know, compassionate family planning services that they provide. Because when you walk into a Planned Parenthood, if you're pregnant, you're going to be pushed into an abortion. And I think they've done it so much that there's enough people who are saying, I don't want to have that experience again, and I'm not going to walk into their facility.
Right. Well, a few years back here in Indiana, the legislature passed, and then Governor Mitch Daniels signed a legislation that would prevent taxpayer dollars going to Planned Parenthood. And one of the arguments from Planned Parenthood and their supporters was that Indiana didn't, I mean, I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but Indiana didn't have enough cemeteries to hold all the women who would die if Planned Parenthood facilities closed because there would be no place for them to go for health care services. So this current turn of events where they are voluntarily closing facilities undermines the claim that Planned Parenthood is the only answer for health care for women, and therefore they need taxpayer dollars to support them. If they're not willing or able, and we know they are, to raise enough money as a not-for-profit to function as other not-for-profits do, these women are going somewhere. And I don't read headlines that we have a spike in women's deaths because they're not getting adequate health care. So it seems that more and more is coming out, Abby, as a result of the efforts of you and David DeLayden and the videos and just the news that's current that really is exposing this lie. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, here I live in Texas, and here in Texas, we have seen a dramatic drop in the abortion rate here in our state. And yes, part of it absolutely is good, solid pro-life legislation. But I truly believe, and there's never been a study that's been done about this, but I believe that one of the reasons that we're seeing this drop all across the country in abortion numbers is because we are having more dialogue about abortion. And I think that when abortion is more prominently in the news, on the internet, people are talking about it, I think it's more opportunity for women to say, maybe abortion isn't something that I want in my future. You know, maybe I will choose life. Maybe I won't participate in this high-risk sexual behavior that could lead to an unintended pregnancy. I truly believe that women are making life decisions. I believe it's one of the reasons is because we are talking about abortion so much more than we ever have. It's in the media. It's in the presidential election. It's just sort of everywhere. And when you talk about it, the only way to cast out darkness is to shine light, right?
Right. And, exactly.
And we are shining light in these dark places. And I think because of that, women are continually rejecting Planned Parenthood.
And before we're completely out of time, Abby, I want to just throw out one more thing that's happening here in the state of Indiana and get your take on it. Legislation passed in this last session, the 2016 legislative session, is being challenged by Planned Parenthood and the ACLU of Indiana. That includes the requirement that a woman considering an abortion be given the opportunity to view an ultrasound of her baby at the time she receives information about the abortion procedure, which here in Indiana is 18 hours prior to the abortion procedure. Right now, Planned Parenthood is making that offer to her when she is laying on the table for the abortion procedure. So we want to
probably make, after she's already sedated.
Probably. Well. Now, Planned Parenthood's reason for challenging this, interestingly enough, is that they claim they only have 4 ultrasound machines and they can only provide the equipment and staff to offer ultrasounds at their abortion facilities and not at their satellite offices, which is, as you pointed out, where they're doing a lot of their notification. They claim they don't have the money to support that kind of requirement. However, the most recent count we have is that there are well over 60 ultrasound machines and trained staff at pregnancy resource centers around the state. It's interesting that a not-for-profit pregnancy resource center can find the money from their donors to provide the very service that should be integral to the operation of an abortion provider that claims to be not-for-profit, and still their supporters won't give them enough money to buy the necessary equipment to give appropriate care to the women that come through their doors. This is just amazing.
Yeah, you know, an ultrasound is just part of basic informed consent. I mean, can you imagine if you went into the dentist and they said, well, we need to pull one of your teeth, and you said, well, which one is it? And they said, don't worry about it.
Yeah, we don't have the money for the x-ray equipment.
We're just going to pull one and see if it works.
Yeah, right.
That would be ridiculous. But that's essentially what Planned Parenthood and these other abortion facilities are subjecting women to. It's improper informed consent. But they are terrified of bills like this passing because they know that the ultrasound exposes the lie of the abortion industry.
Exactly.
That it is not just a massive tissue. It is not a blob of cells, but this is a unique and individual human being with a beating heart.
Well, thank you so much, Abby. You always bring an excellent perspective to what's going on here in the state of Indiana. And as we continue the fight across the country, our guest today has been Abby Johnson, CEO and founder of And Then There Were None, a ministry to reach the abortion workers and help them find other more productive employment. Abby is a former Planned Parenthood executive and has spoken out very forcefully to expose what goes on behind the closed doors of Planned Parenthood. She's also the author of the books Unplanned and The Walls Are Talking. I've read them both. I encourage you to pick up a copy and you will have a clearer understanding of why we must be about the business of reaching the abortion workers, not only to get them to leave their business, but for those of us who hold the Christian faith, they are lost souls. And I would encourage you to visit abortionworker.com for more information and to see how you can support Abby and her work. Thank you so much for being with us today, Abby.
Thank you.
You've been listening to I Choose Life News and Views. If you have questions about this program or if you'd like to support the fight for life, please call 260-471-1849 or go to iChooseLife.org, because without the right to life, no other rights matter.